Hey guys, welcome to the Sleeper Wire Show. Just a quick intro here because we've got two fantastic interviews for you this week. We've got Greg Allman, who is a Bucks and NFL writer for the Tampa Bay Times. He and Professor Chris and Prophet Hoos get into it about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the running backs, the wide receivers, the tight ends, and the quarterback situation with Jameis Winston and suspension. Where are the values in fantasy on that team? We'll get into that. But before that, we've got an interview that Professor Chris and Lucas did with Jeff Warren, producer and host of the Philadelphia Sports Table podcast. They're going to get you excited about football season and talk about rankings. So after a quick break here, we're going to jump right into that interview and then follow that up with Greg Allman. So stay tuned for the entire show. Lots of good stuff. Thanks for tuning in.
Don't kill me. Don't kill me, man. What are you?
I'm Batman. The night is darkest just before the dawn. And I promise, the dawn is coming. The dawn of the Sleeper Wire Draft Genius. I know you've fallen for the other draft kits before. But do you know why we fall? So we can pick ourselves back up and pre-order the Sleeper Wire Draft Genius. Batman has no limits, and neither does the Sleeper Wire Draft Genius. Go to the Sleeper Wire Patreon page. Don't let your path to fantasy glory die, like my parents did. Help me save Gotham and your fantasy football season by pre-ordering the Sleeper Wire Draft Genius now and become a Sleeper Wire Patreon.
This is Sean Merriman, and you're listening to The Sleeper Wire Show.
Hey, sleepers, and welcome to The Sleeper Wire Show. We have a special show today. We're not going to do a long show. We have a special rankings episode. I am your host, Professor Chris, and with me I have Lucky Lucas. How's it going on, Luke?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
And a special guest, Jeff Warren from the Philadelphia Sports Table podcast. Jeff, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Man, thanks so much for having me this week here. I really appreciate it. The fantasy season is almost here, and I am so psyched for it.
All right. I love the enthusiasm.
Yes,
too, for
always
sure.
Enthusiastic.
For sure. Hall of Fame game tomorrow. That means that football is here.
Guys,
we're less than 24 hours.
We are, and there is going to be football being played, okay, coming this week until February of next year. We're going to have football constantly. It's fantastic.
It is finally back. Now, fantasy's not back, but football certainly finally back. We actually sent out, or I'm not sure if the other commissioners did, but I sent out my invites to all of the pros and ams that are in my league in the Sleeper Wire Pro-Am this year, and I know everybody is super pumped for that. And Jeff, you are actually going to be one of our pros in the league this year.
I really appreciate being invited on board because the one thing I enjoy playing fantasy football with are people who are into it. I mean, when you have people who are into it, people who are competitive, it makes it that much more fun. It makes it that much more interesting as well. So I'm really looking forward to it, guys.
Yeah, and these are people, you know, people who are going to be playing with are people who know the pros from around the industry, but people who also, you know, they're going to be setting lineups, they're going to be active, they're going to be making trades. I mean, they donated to be in this league, and we appreciate every single person who donated. Every single dollar that you guys, sent our way towards the charity is awesome. So we know the leagues are going to be active, so it's going to be super fun. It's going to be real competitive.
It is going to be so fun. Just setting our lineups, guys. That phrase that I just said, setting our lineups, it's making me tingly right now. Just thinking about this season here. Seriously, setting our lineups, I can't wait.
Well, speaking of setting our lineups and competitive leagues, we are down to 17 spots left in the Sleeper Wire Listener Leagues this season. Yes, that's right. We are not only running the Sleeper Wire Pro-Am for charity, but we're also going to have four Listener Leagues as well. And a $25 donation is going to get you into one of the Listener Leagues. You donate $25 at GoFundMe.com/RobJR. Take a screenshot of that donation and email it to SleeperWire@gmail.com and make sure to send us your name and your preferred email and then your sleeper username as well. And but you do get something in return, not just donation, but you get a signed jersey from Pristine Auction, and these are really good. We're not going to release the names yet, but there's some pretty big names. And let's go ahead and get into the show. We're not going to be covering any news today. You know, we're going to have another news episode coming out roughly around the same time. So just a special rankings episode. I have my rankings, and Lucas has his rankings. And we're going to go through the top 10 at each one of the positions. And I already know, Jeff, you have some thoughts on a couple of these ones. Let's go ahead and kick it off with quarterbacks. So, Lucas, how about this? I'll read my 10, and then you can read your 10, and then we'll talk about where they differ. Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right. So, 1 through 5, I'm assuming we're probably similar. Actually, let's go through 5. Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Cam Newton, Drew Brees, and Tom Brady for me.
No, see, I'm actually quite a bit different. I'm Rodgers, Brady, Watson, Wentz, Cam. I don't have Wilson in my top 5.
Thank you, Lucas.
So you have Wentz at number 4.
I do. I love Wentz.
All right.
I love Wentz.
Well, let's go. You know what? This is what Jeff wanted to talk about. I've got Wentz down at number 10 right now. So, Jeff, why do you think Carson Wentz should be in the top 5?
Listen, I'm trying to put all bias aside here, being that I host a Philadelphia sports podcast show, I should say, and just absolutely love Carson Wentz for so many different reasons, who he is on the field, who he is off the field. Let's just go to his production last year. It was insane. We know this. And he missed the final, you know, 3+ games of the 2017 season, still finished second in the NFL with 33 touchdown passes. Now, some are saying, and I get it, I completely get it, that Wentz's 2017 season, unrepeatable. I get it. His touchdown rate was, what, 7.5% last year, I think, guys? You know, that's a number that Aaron Rodgers has hit just once in his career. Now, remember, we're talking about a guy who just about all of us would consider one of the best of all times, Aaron Rodgers. So if you dial back Carson Wentz's touchdown rate even to 6%, which is still basically elite-level talent, he would have thrown 7 less touchdowns, would drop him down from maybe like a QB5 to maybe, believe it or not, a QB12. I just don't think that's going to happen. I don't think we're going to see that much of a regression with Carson Wentz, yes, coming off an ACL, but we know that there are players coming off ACL injuries who just don't have a problem. They rarely have any setbacks. They rarely fall off that cliff. He is ready, and he is, I know it's only been the first week of camp, but he is absolutely ready to take his game, I think, to the next level. And I'm not sure we're seeing any indications, given that it even is this early in camp, that Carson Wentz is going to be a bust. Like some people are saying, I'm not sure he's going to be that number 10, Chris, that you have him ranked as.
Yeah, you know, let me justify. The reason I have him ranked so low right now is because we haven't, I'm not going to say we haven't heard any positive news about Carson Wentz. Like, it is great that he's going to be back, most likely for the start of the season, but it's still not a guarantee that he's going to be starting week one. And there was a report from Doug Peterson said that he has noticed that Carson Wentz has, you know, been a little hesitant, and he's been held out of team drills, full practices for 3 straight days now.
11-on-11s. Yeah, he has not done any 11-on-11s, but when he is out there doing 7-on-7s, and yes, I know it's 7-on-7s, he is everything. It's coming down on the dime, basically. That ball is coming down on the dime. It's like he hasn't missed a beat. And again, yes, I'm biased. I love the guy. I love what he's done to this team and his leadership here. But I really don't think we're going to see very much regression from Carson Wentz. And quite frankly, he's got some more weapons this year. I honestly believe that, Torrey Smith leaving, not necessarily the worst thing in the world, but bringing Wallace in is such an upgrade from Torrey Smith. I actually think the receiving core is better this year than it was last year.
I think that we'll see chemistry between Jeffrey. I think Aguilar could take a step forward this year. They have a better idea of what their run game is. Ajayi came in halfway through the season. Now they're going to have Ajayi and Corey Clement, and then everyone vying behind there. And they have Zach Ertz. One of the main reasons that I have Wentz at 4 is because if he was feeling better, I would have had him at 2. The reason I have him down that far is because of his knee. If he misses a week or two, it doesn't bother me because I'm playing for the playoffs. I want him at the time of the playoffs. So if he misses the first 2 weeks, I'm going to play my backup QB. I'm going to play Case Keenum that I'm getting in the 14th round or one of these other guys for the first 2 weeks, and I'm going to be absolutely okay because what I'm playing for is the playoffs, and that's why I have Wentz at 4.
Yeah, and, you know, if we get some news that, like, hey, everything is completely fine, he's guaranteed he's starting all preseason, or at least he's going to be starting week one, I'll probably move him up to, up a few spots. I'm not going to keep him down at 10, but as of right now, that's where I have to have him.
Okay, that's fair. I'll take it.
All right. Well, let's talk about 6 through 10. So I have Kirk Cousins at 6, and it felt weird putting him outside of the top 5. I think he's the only quarterback, or he's the only one to finish in the top 4 for two consecutive years, isn't he?
I believe you are accurate with that, but he's now on a different team.
A better team.
He's got lot of weapons. He's got a lot more weapons than Josh Doctson.
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah, so Kirk Cousins at 6, Deshaun Watson at 7, Matthew Stafford 8, Phillip Rivers 9, and as we were talking about Carson Wentz, I have him at 10. I feel like that's a pretty standard top 10 list. Yours is probably going to be fairly similar to that, just in a slightly different order. But who's your 6 through 10?
Well, so my 6 through 10 are Breeze, Wilson, Rivers, Cousins, and Ryan. I have Wilson down at 7. Doug Baldwin, his knee's still giving him issues. They don't have anyone else to throw to. That offensive line is – I just have absolutely zero faith in Pete Carroll whatsoever. I think Wilson falls off a little bit this year. I don't think that he these crazy numbers that he's been producing are going to happen.
Yeah, I found myself as I do more and more mock drafts as we're getting closer to the season. You know, we always talk about waiting on quarterbacks, but when Russell Wilson and Cam Newton are both there in, say, like the eighth round, when, you know, I would be thrilled to have a top five quarterback that late, I find myself passing over Russell Wilson, hoping to take Cam Newton in the next round. Even though I have Wilson ranked higher, I still feel like I still want Newton a little bit more, and I'm not sure why I still have Wilson ranked that high. And granted, obviously, I haven't updated these since we got that news about Doug Baldwin today. Maybe missing some time, he's going to miss most, if not all, of preseason.
Yep.
So it could change depending on that developing story right there.
They no longer have Jimmy. Baldwin's injured. The O-line is still what it was, and. What are they doing at running back? Do you know that Collins was on Seattle last year during the preseason and they cut him?
Oh, yeah.
They let him go?
Yep.
To Baltimore? Like, what are you doing? It didn't make any sense to me.
I saw people freaking out about, Chris Carson, there's that report that he's the favorite to, you know, to have the starting job at the beginning of the season. And I was, yeah, but come on. Like, Chris Carson wasn't even that good last season.
But see, that's the point that I'm making, though.
Yeah.
Is that offense, he was bad last year. In terms of the pieces on it, like going into it, I was nervous. I can't believe Wilson finishes the number one quarterback. Props to him. But it's even worse than what it was.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I was going to ask, Chris, with your ranking with Cam Newton at number 3, I found it very interesting because we've had some SB Nation Cat Scratch reader guys come on our podcast show to talk about the Panthers and their team, their roster over the past year. And I just view this Carolina Panthers wide receiver core. I mean, yes, they do have Greg Olsen as tight end, but it seems like a weak wide receiver core. And I just don't know if these guys are going to be able to run those routes and be able to get such separation that they're going to really be able to help Cam Newton with his fantasy numbers this year.
Well, let me ask you this. Cam Newton, over under 22 touchdowns.
I'd say probably over.
Probably over. So think more than 22 touchdowns.
Yeah.
That's how many he had last season when he finished as the QB2.
Okay. All right.
So
that's very fair.
3,300 yards, 22 touchdowns, but it's the rushing that makes it up for Cam Newton. 754 yards and 6 touchdowns on the ground. It's, you know, he might not throw a whole lot, but he finishes in the top 5 every single year because he's just got that rushing yard floor that just makes him so safe.
That's a great point. I think that body has really taken a beating, though, too,
it
over
has.
These years. And I'm just not sure if a Chris Samuel or, Charles Johnson, Russell Shepard, or even Torrey Smith coming from the Eagles, I don't know if they're going to be able to help him stretch the field that much where, you know, he's going to be able to rely on his arm instead of his feet.
Yeah, these numbers, though, were, you know, remember last offseason there was the whole, oh, we don't want Cam to run as much. We want him to stay in the pocket, all that talk.
True.
This performance by Cam Newton was him dialed back.
Yeah, it is a great point. That's a very great point, Chris.
Still makes me a little nervous though when a third of the quarterback's points come from their legs.
Hey, he does it every year. I'm okay with it. I'm okay. And you're getting him after, way after Rodgers. You're getting him after Wilson. You're getting him after Breeze and Brady. Sometimes you're definitely getting him after Watson. But he's, you know, usually going around like the sixth or seventh quarterback off the board. And if I can get Cam Newton, someone who finishes in the top five every single year in like the eighth or ninth round, sign me up every single time.
Let's not forget, though, 2016, he finished as like the 17th overall quarterback. That's 2 years ago.
Was he really that low?
Yeah, that was his worst year because I think that was the year he got in the car wreck prior in the preseason or whenever that was and cracked his ribs.
Oh, you're right. Every other year he finishes.
No, he generally does, but I just have to point out that within the last 2 years, he's had his worst season.
Yeah,
so
you're right.
But I still have him at five, though. So, I mean, that shows you I still have some pretty deep faith in him.
Well, let's go ahead and move on here. We spent a lot of time on quarterbacks. Let's get to running backs. And I'm assuming our top four are essentially the same, maybe in a different order. All these four guys are certainly tier one no matter what. So honestly, you can make an argument that any one of them should go number one overall. It's Gurley, Bell, Zeke, and David Johnson for me. I'm assuming you probably have those four as your top four in just a slightly different order.
Yep, we agree with these four. Gurley, for me, it's Gurley, Zeke, DJ, and Bell. I think Zeke is the best overall runner, and I think that they, in the NFL, and I think that they utilize him slightly more in the passing game than what they have before. And I have DJ at three. We forget that however many points that Gurley scored last year, DJ scored even more the previous year. So DJ could very well end up being the number one. And I have Bell at four, not because of a lack of talent. I love his talent. He averages 11 games played per season, whether it's from suspensions or injuries. He doesn't seem to be able to stay on the field as much as the other three. Well, I guess we just had the Zeke thing, but I don't see us having issues.
Yeah, but he played all 16 last year, didn't he?
I think he played 15 last year, but it could have been. He pretty much played all of them. Was last year the one? I thought he started with a two or three game suspension last year.
No, that was the year before. Last year, he just he held out for all of training camp and then was a little rusty when he came back. But okay. Granted, you know, Le'Veon Bell's not used to playing the first two or three games a season either. so that was a new thing for him. Anyway, so we've got the same top four, slightly different order, but the same top four. Now,
can I ask you a question really quick? And sure. This is something I've been thinking about is David Johnson. He is by far, of course, the best offensive weapon that the Arizona Cardinals have. He really is, and we know this. And I think because of that, there's going to be a target on his back, guys. And I wonder if the box is going to be so stacked when teams are facing the Cardinals that he's going to have difficulty getting those 100-yard rushing games. And what is it going to do at the goal line as well when he is that weapon at the goal line, just stacking the box? And I'm concerned about not necessarily his level of productivity, but him getting the fantasy numbers that we're going to be expecting at number four.
Well, you know, if it was Jordan Howard on the Cardinals, I would completely agree because all he does is rush. But his safety also comes through the passing game, which there's no way that they're not going to use him. That's one of his strengths. He wants to be a 1,000-yard rusher and receiver this season. And Sam Bradford wasn't it historically the most accurate season of all time in 2016? He is great at throwing those short passes, and you know David Johnson.
Don't I know that?
Just going to be a beast again.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right. Sounds good.
Yeah. If it was just on the ground, I would agree. But he can get so much more done through the air than almost every other person, except for Le'Veon Bell, basically. But my number five, though, is where a lot of people disagree. And Lucas, I haven't seen your rankings, so I'm curious as to what you say. Melvin Gordon is my RB5. I've said it since, February? I tweeted it and I said, screenshot this. Melvin Gordon's going to be the RB5. Still firmly believe it.
Ooh.
Yeah, so my number five is actually Dalvin Cook.
All right.
Had he not gotten injured last year, he would have been in the running for the number one spot. I think he probably would have finished number three. But I think Dalvin Cook, if he comes back fully healthy, we're going to see a beast. It would not surprise me at all if he finishes top three.
Yeah, and I actually had Dalvin Cook, I think, down at 10. And then when I was getting ready to send my rankings over to Jeff, I was looking at him real quick. I was like, okay, is there anything I should change before I send these off? And I definitely had to move him up a couple spots.
Yep, I love Dalvin Cook. Yep.
I'm glad. Yeah, I'm glad you moved him up, Chris, honestly, because like I said with Carson Wentz earlier, and we're talking about these players coming back from torn ACLs. I mean, how often do they tear it again the very next season or again completely fall off a cliff? You know, we know these guys heal from these injuries and rarely have any setbacks. And I'm actually expecting some big things from Dalvin Cook this year. You know, when we talk about Kirk Cousins, okay, I watch Kirk Cousins play Washington playing against the Philadelphia Eagles now for years, and Kirk Cousins loves dumping it off to his running backs. He just does. That's what he does. Chris Thompson had 54 targets out of the backfield in 10 games last year. He ranked number 7th in the NFL. He had 62 targets in 2016. In the league that I run, I'm going to have no problem taking Dalvin Cook probably at number 5, quite frankly. I am really looking forward to what he is going to do. I think he's going to be a beast. Lucas, I completely agree with you that I think he could potentially be up there within that number 2 spot when the season ends. Dalvin Cook is a very special player. I do have concern about the offensive line, but again, you have Kirk Cousins dumping it off to him a decent amount this year, and I think in PPR leagues he is going to be extremely valuable.
Oh, I agree. Yep, he's going to be great. Now, if I could get something like Melvin Gordon in the first and Dalvin Cook in the second, whew, be thrilled.
Oh, man.
So I do have Melvin at 5. I have Alvin Kamara at 6. What about you, Lucas?
So my next 5, I have Barkley, Fournette, Kamara, Hunt, and then Gordon.
Okay, so we have the same top 10, just in a different order.
Yeah, so Barkley, he is just such a monster. His thighs are like tree trunks. He will not stop moving. He is going to hit people and just keep going. And I'm really excited to see what Barkley can do. Fournette, he's another one of those guys that he's an elite bell cow. My top 7, I think any of these guys could finish in really any order. And then my next 3 is kind of a little bit of a different tier, Kamara, Hunt, and Gordon. For me, I think Gordon's in a great situation. He's getting a lot of goal line work. I don't think he's an elite running back in terms of talent. Hunt, the reason I have him at 9 is not because of talent. It's because I'm just nervous with how the Chiefs are going to use them. And I'm a little nervous about how Mahomes is going to produce this year with how difficult of a schedule that the Chiefs have against the pass. And I absolutely love Kamara, but the reason I have him as low as I have him down at 8 is just because of volume. He's not going to be able to produce as efficiently as he did last year. I do think he will get a slight uptick in the amount of volume because we know where we stand with him. But because of the fact that he's not a bell cow in terms of the overall number of touches, I think that the other 7 deserve to be above him.
And honestly, I'm not even going to go into any stats or anything like that with Melvin, Kamara, Fournette, and Cook. What I'm going to say is go listen to the great debates that we did over those guys. There is much more information in those short 15-minute shows than we could possibly squeeze into a show about rankings. So we did Melvin Gordon versus Alvin Kamara and also Leonard Fournette versus Dalvin Cook, and tons of information, just info-packed, thick in that little episode right there. So go listen to those ones. But we do need to be respectful of Jeff's time here. So we're going to go ahead and move over to wide receivers. So top 2, Antonio Brown, DeAndre Hopkins.
I actually have Hopkins number 1.
Okay. All right.
I think Hopkins, with the healthy Deshaun Watson, I think he is the man. I love that combo.
He easily could be. What about your 3-4-5?
3-4-5 is OBJ, Julio, and Michael Thomas.
All right. Exact same for me. You got any thoughts on that, Jeff? Those 5?
Yeah. I think when I'm looking at what Odell Beckham is going to do this season and thinking about that huge chip on his shoulder that he has, it would not surprise me if he's the number 1 wide receiver at the end of this season. The Eagles play the Giants twice a year. He just kills the Eagles constantly. He kills a lot of teams, but it would not surprise me if Odell Beckham would actually be drafted the first wide receiver off any draft boards at all. It really wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, you won't believe this. In our Scott Fishbowl, we were picking in the middle of the round, and we got Hopkins at the 6th overall pick and then OBJ at 2-7.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I did a mock draft last night, a 10-team PPR, where I ended up with Hopkins and OBJ at the turn, at the end of the first round. And then Baldwin, which now, you know, hindsight, I wouldn't have picked him, but Baldwin and Hill on the 3-4 turn.
That's incredible. That's incredible. Another guy, though, who, Chris, I know you have ranked number 4, is Julio Jones. And listen, I don't mean for this to be a hot take, but I've been picking Julio Jones for the past few years. And quite frankly, at the end of these seasons, I am a bit disappointed in the productivity from a fantasy football perspective. And I'm just wondering, you know, based on the fact that he's got the money that he's won and right now at this point heading into training camp, and I'm wondering if, not that he's going to be lackluster by any stretch of the imagination, but if maybe number 4 is a little too high. I'm just wondering that. Not in terms of your rank. I've seen him ranked 3rd. I've seen him ranked 5th and 6th and other rankings out there. I'm just wondering if the value that Julio Jones has is actually worth where he's being ranked at this point in a lot of different rankings.
Well, I think a lot of people are giving him hate because the touchdowns just weren't there last year. I mean, 3 touchdowns, that's certainly not what you want from a guy who you were drafting in the first round. Neither is the 88 receptions, which is, you know, 48 catches fewer than what he had. Was it 2016 where he had 136 catches?
Yeah. Yeah.
But Julio, 1,400 plus yards every single year. I'll take a near guaranteed 1,400 plus at the beginning of the second round. Every single time.
All right, very good.
But Lucas, our 6 and 7, I'm thinking they might be the same, but we actually did a great debate over these two guys as well. Devontae Adams and Keenan Allen. I've got Adams at 6 and Keenan at 7.
See, I have Allen, AJ Green, then Adams.
Okay, I've got AJ Green at 8, so right after those
two. Okay, so I have Adams down at 8. Adams is in a much better spot, but AJ Green is a superior talent.
Oh, 100% agree.
I agree with you guys. Completely. I really do. I've got nothing else to add to that. Fantastic
there we go.
Analysis.
Yeah. So my 9 and 10 finishes up with Mike Evans and Tyreek Hill. I honestly am probably going to move T.Y. Hilton up into the 9 spot. If we keep hearing more and more good news about Andrew Luck, and it might just be the Colts homer in me, but I put a post out on Twitter today that it makes me really want to put Andrew Luck back in the top 5 and T.Y. Hilton back in the top 10.
Yeah, I have big question marks near Luck and T.Y.
Yeah, for sure. The question marks are there.
Yeah, I have question marks near some guys, and as we get more information, they will start to climb up. But as of right now, I have to proceed as if Luck's arm, his shoulder is not gonna. It's not as powerful as what we perceive it to be. If we get news otherwise, as it gets closer, T.Y. is going to shoot up, and he's probably going to be at the 10 spot for me. But right now, for my 9-10, I have Mike Evans, and then a guy that gets a lot of disrespect. His name is Larry Fitzgerald.
Ooh.
I got him at 12.
My number 10 is Larry Fitz. Yep.
Yep. I had him at 11, but I moved T.Y. up today. One spot.
Oh, if Sam Bradford can stay healthy, he is one of the best quarterbacks throwing to the slot. Guess who runs a lot of routes in the slot?
Larry Legend.
Oh,
this
one
is a
sack
Sam in heaven. With DJ back, like,
I'll tell you, one sack and Sam Bradford is done. I mean, seriously, there's a reason why when he was in Philly, I nicknamed him Cinnamon Stick Legs. I mean, that's just it's unfortunately, that's just who he is. That's physically, that's just who he is. Man, God bless you guys for that. I really like moving T.Y. Hilton up. I really do, because with regard to Mike Evans and moving him ahead of Mike Evans. Listen, Mike Evans didn't produce the way that we thought he was going to produce last year, and now with Jameis Winston and that news, suspensions, I'm going to be very, very hesitant to take Mike Evans probably around 10th overall with regard to wide receivers.
Yeah, it feels a little risky for sure.
Yep.
But I have absolutely no problem with Larry Fitzgerald being in there in the top 10. You have him at 10. I have him at 12. Don't need to go into this one either. Once again, it's another reason why I love doing the great debates, is because we can just say, hey, just go listen to this one. I did one this week as well with Hoos. We did Tyreek Hill versus Larry Fitzgerald. And it was yet another good one. So, guys, go listen to that episode. Another jam-packed, info-packed episode there as well. Let's go ahead and move over to tight ends. So, I'm assuming we have the same top three, maybe four. Gronk, Kelsey, Ertz for me. One, two, and three.
So, Gronk, Ertz, Kelsey for me.
Okay. Yeah, you can really make an argument for Kelsey or Ertz. Gronk, obviously, if he plays all 16, should be the number one.
Yes, he should, and the Patriots have the, I think, easiest schedule going into the season for the tight ends. The easiest tight end schedule happens to fall to Gronk, and then I think they have one of the easiest passing schedules also in general for the quarterbacks. So absolutely love that, as if we didn't have, you know, as if we needed extra reasons.
And my number four, Greg Olsen, and I... You know, four seems, you know, like, oh, tier one. There's the tier one guys. There's Gronk, there's Kelsey, and Ertz. I think the tier one has four spots. Greg Olsen still belongs in that elite tier one tight end conversation. And you can get him two, three, sometimes even four rounds after the other guys are off the board. You know, all he did was he broke his arm last year, right? That's all it was. It's not like, or it was an arm or his leg. I don't know. It was a broken bone. Something that's, you know, you can easily come back from. It heals even stronger. People forget how dominant Greg Olsen actually was. I mean, he was, you know, top two guy every single year. I don't think this year's going to be any different. He's still got that rapport with Cam Newton. Greg Olsen is a tier one tight end once again.
I love Olsen. I have him at my number five spot. And a guy that's everyone I feel like is sleeping on. His name's Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham was paid $30 million to play 3 years with Green Bay. And everyone says, well, they never used the tight end. They paid him, and they didn't pay him to block. They don't have Jordy. I'm not really sure about Cobb. They're going to use Jimmy like a wide receiver. They're going to throw him the ball a lot, and especially in the red zone. When he was playing with Breeze, he had something like an average of 135 targets. He never hit 100 targets being in Seattle. He wasn't utilized properly. He's going to Green Bay. I expect him to not have the 135 targets that he had in with Drew Brees, but it would not shock me whatsoever if he has 115 or 120 targets. And 115 targets coming from Aaron Rodgers means a lot.
Yeah, Lucas, I agree with you, because when you got Aaron Rodgers throwing you the ball, I mean, that puts life in a different perspective when you are on that team. You take any of those wide receivers, you take any of those tight ends that we've seen Green Bay have over the years, you put them on other teams, they're probably not going to be as productive in fantasy as they are when they have Aaron Rodgers throwing them the ball, for sure.
Yep.
I've got Jimmy Graham down at number eight. I don't see it. You brought up exactly the argument that I make, is that Aaron Rodgers doesn't really throw to the tight end very often. And we've heard the same argument every single year. Yeah, I know Jimmy Graham is Jimmy Graham, and he's a big red zone target. But, oh, you know, Aaron Rodgers has never had a tight end like Jared Cook. Aaron Rodgers has never had a tight end like Martellus Bennett. Aaron Rodgers has never had a tight end like Jimmy Graham. It's the same narrative. People are going to overdraft this guy, and they're going to be disappointed with the results. Martellus Bennett was overdrafted last year. Everybody was disappointed.
Yeah, but see, I don't put any of those other guys even remotely in the conversation, and we know that Jimmy doesn't block. So why would they pay him and bring him in? Why not pay for another? Why not bring Dez in? Why bring in a receiving tight end? We forget Jimmy finished as what, the number five or number six tight end last year?
I think it was number five,
and he was the only tight end in the top eight with under 100 targets. I'm just saying, with Aaron Rodgers thrown to this guy, I think he's going to surprise some people, and people are sleeping on him.
Yeah, very possible. I don't see it. I'm not going to be drafting him above Greg Olsen. I'm not going to be drafting him above the other three guys that I've got right here. So Kyle Rudolph is my number five, and we hear this saying all the time. And you know, I see people post this exact same quote. You know, about any quarterback who they just happen to like, as oh, he loves his tight ends. And it's just not true with every single quarterback. So Twitter, knock it off. It's not true for your favorite quarterback. Not every quarterback loves his tight ends. But guess who does? Kirk Cousins. He has thrown to his tight ends more than his wide receiver one every year for the last 3 years. His tight ends get more targets than his number one wide receiver, and Kyle Rudolph is a year removed from finishing as the number two tight end in fantasy football. He is going to have a monster year, and I will be glad to take him, you know, near the double-digit rounds for someone who I believe can easily finish, you know, top five, maybe even top three.
That's fair. I have Rudolph a little lower. He is definitely in my 10. My five is Olsen, and then my next three are Ingram, Walker, and then Rudolph at the number eight spot.
Yeah, so Jeff,
which I think is the end of a tier right there.
I gotcha. Jeff, as an Eagles fan, you got to watch Kirk Cousins throw to his tight ends all the time. You got to see Jordan Reed dominate. You got to see Vernon Davis step up when Jordan Reed was out.
Absolutely. And, you know, Kirk Cousins, he loves that dump-off type of pass. It's something that I've seen for years and years. Like I said earlier, whether or not he was dumping off to the running back or dumping out to the tight end in the flats, he absolutely loves that. So I think you've made some really good points. For me, I'm actually looking at a certain sleeper in fantasy this year, and call me crazy. Do I think he's going to be a top 10? Probably not, but I think you're going to get good value for him, and that's going to be Tyler Eifert, believe it or not. He's a guy who caught 13 touchdowns. I mean, he's a touchdown machine, basically. 13 touchdowns in 2015. 2016, only played 8 games, but had 5 touchdowns in those 8 games. And we know he only played 2 games last year because he was injured, really didn't put up much of anything. But I think Tyler Eifert, just kind of based on that history of being a touchdown machine and the value that you can get for him in later rounds, I think that's going to be a nice sleeper for some people out there.
Yeah, he's already been taken off the PUP list, so he's been activated.
Yep.
He's good to go. I'm going to go ahead and finish my top 10 here for tight ends. Number 6, I have Delanie Walker, who's a guy who finishes, you know, inside the top 5, it seems like, every single year. And, you know, the Titans just gave him an extension, right? This guy's going to play until he's 110 years old, and he's going to keep producing for you. There's already good news about the chemistry between Walker and Mariota coming out of training camp. Yeah, it's training camp hype, but that's all we have to go on right now. But there is history between those two. Evan Engram at 7 for me. Jimmy Graham at 8. I have Jack Doyle at 9. And that, like, I'd have a hard time not moving him up if I know that Andrew Luck is going to be absolutely healthy, because he still finished inside the top 10 with Jacoby Brissett throwing to him last year. He was the tight end 7 in PPR leagues, and he is one of only 2 tight ends to get 80 or more catches. Do you know that?
I did not.
Yeah. Kelsey had 83.
That's amazing.
Kelsey had 83. Jack Doyle was 2nd in receiving or receptions for tight ends with 80. And that was with Jacoby Brissett. So if Luck is fully healthy, I might consider him moving him up. I don't know who I'd move him above. So that's going to be the hard part.
But, and then, you know, Chris, I mean, that Brissett, he really loves throwing to his tight end.
Oh, my God, he does. Yep, he does. And Cameron Brate rounds out my top 10. Jameis Winston's favorite target, it seems like. You know, it wasn't Mike Evans last year. It was Cameron Brate. He finishes the tight end 1 every single season, it seems. And maybe Jordan Reed. I have him as an honorable mention at 11. If he's healthy, certainly going to be in the top 10. Lucas, how does your top 10 tight ends finish out?
So, like I said, at 6, it's Ingram, then Walker, then Rudolph at 8. And my 9 and 10 are a little different than yours, actually. My 9 is Trey Burton, and my 10 is Kittle. I really like Jimmy Garoppolo this year. I have him just as a just outside of the top 12 for my quarterbacks. And him and Kittle, they looked pretty powerful at the end of the year last year. So it wouldn't surprise me whatsoever for Kittle to finish somewhere in the top 10.
All right, there you have it. We're going to go ahead and wrap up the show here. Jeff, thank you so much for being on the show today, man.
Guys, you were great, and I really appreciate you bringing me on board. It's always fun to talk fantasy football.
Yes, it absolutely is. Why don't you go ahead and tell our listeners where they can follow you and support your show?
Yeah, if you are on Twitter, you can follow us at Philadelphia PST. If there are any Philadelphia sports fans out there, we get into the Eagles, Phillies, Flyers, and Sixers, and some college talk as well, general sports talk too. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffrey_Warren, W-A-R-R-E-N. And you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can like the Facebook page. We're on Instagram as well. You can search us out on all social media sites. You can find our podcast show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or Google Play as well.
And I believe I'm going to be on your show mid-August.
Exactly. I think August 16th, actually. It's going to be our table talk show. We're going to be diving into even more fantasy talk. Wanted to bring you on mid-August because at that point, a lot of injuries are really sifting themselves, you know, through the process there.
I'm going to go ahead and give you a heads up. I've been an Atlanta Braves fan for 23 years, so we're going to have some stuff to talk about.
Oh, dear heavens. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I'm sweating right now.
Yeah, when the Braves are back on top of the NL East mid-August, we're going to be talking about some stuff. So,
Chris, it has been an interesting Major League Baseball season. This NL East is extremely exciting.
Hey, you know, you got to admit, no one saw the Braves being this good.
Nobody saw the Braves being this good. Nobody saw the Phillies actually getting to the number one spot in the NL East, even if it is for a few weeks, you know, throughout this season. It was supposed to be a rebuild year, but we're going to get into it more for sure.
Oh, yeah. I think all of our listeners have probably turned off the show once they heard baseball. you can follow us on Twitter at SleeperWire Show. I'm on there at Seymour SleeperWire. Lucas is on there at SleeperWire LBB, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
And you can follow us on the Sleeper app as well. I'm on there at Professor Chris. Lucas is on there at SleeperWire LBB. And Jeff, you want to give our listeners your Sleeper username as well?
My Sleeper name is Jeff Warren.
All right. Original. I love it. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll catch you next time.
We want to thank you for listening to the SleeperWire Show, the most interactive and accessible fantasy sports podcast out there right now. If you want to reach us anytime, you can join our new Facebook group. Just search for SleeperWire Fantasy Football Club on Facebook groups. Join us there. Find us on the SleeperWire channel in the SleeperBot app. We're on the Fantasy Life app, and you can go to our webpage, sleeperwire.com. Look for the advice section. You can send us email questions we answer within 24 hours or less. Oh, and lest I forget, we do two live shows a week during the season, the Wednesday Mail Sack and the Sunday Morning Blitz, where we answer your questions and take your calls live on the air. So keep in touch with us all year through these ways and more, only on the SleeperWire Show.
All right, let's go ahead and move into our interview with Greg Allman, one of the beat reporters for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Greg, thanks for coming on. How are you doing today, man?
Doing well, guys. Thanks for having me on. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, Hoos is doing especially well because this is a chance where he gets to ask you about his favorite player in the entire universe and someone who we disagree on. We're going to kick it off with running backs here. How is Peyton Barber looking so far?
You know, look good this summer. You know, obviously has a big opportunity. You know, he'll be battling with Ronald Jones here, but you know, really stepped up in the last month of last season. You know, wound up being the team's leading rusher for the season. So, again, I think Ronald Jones is the guy that's probably going to get the bulk of the work. But Peyton Barber's right there, and we'll have a chance to be a big part of what they do with what they hope is a much improved running game this season.
Now, why are you such a big Peyton Barber fan?
I mean, I like the guys that have a chip on their shoulder, you know, and, you know, I like when you could come in there and prove everyone wrong. So I like that aspect about Peyton Barber. He's the only guy last year that had 100 yards on the team, you know, against, you know, was it against Green Bay? He basically put the team on his back that game. You know, he showed potential, you know, and he didn't get much work last year. So, I mean, I think even if he gets the same amount of work that he got, you know, similar to last year towards the end of the season, I think he still can give you value. And then, you know, rookies, they make mistakes, you know, and then often the veterans are right there to pick it up. And, you know, again, he's his third year into the offense. So, you know, I like my value guys, too. Right. So I don't like to draft heavy, you know, running backs early. So Peyton Barber is a nice guy that I think I could grab late and hope that he does well. So, yeah, I like Peyton Barber. You know, he's not my favorite guy in the league, but, yeah, I seem to have been talking about him a lot all season.
Yeah,
I saw a list today. I think had him like 131 or something like that. I mean, you're talking about, you know, 12th round for a guy that could be a team's leading rusher. So, yeah,
right.
definitely. You think, the thing about Peyton Barber is, you know, only really had 1 year in college where he was the go-to guy. So in terms of, you know, even for somebody in their third year, still being a developing player and a guy that, you know, is kind of growing into the position, I think you can think of him that way.
He's got his size, right? I mean, in comparison to Ronald Jones, he's got good size, you know, built up some muscle, I believe, in the offseason.
Oh, yes, no, but like I said, he'll be, in the least, he'll be their number two guy. I mean, I think they're counting on him, and especially as Ronald Jones kind of eases into the NFL. You know, it's not just being able to make big plays. To get the ball in the NFL, they have to trust you. So, you know, pass protection, I think, is something that Ronald Jones does well. But, you know, it's a more complex thing to do that in the NFL. So there's always going to be some level of adjustment. And whether he can do that and get it figured out in August or whether it takes September, October, that's what we'll figure out here.
Right.
I think, move on.
So right now he's being drafted in the fifth round in PPR league. So, Hoos, would you take Ronald Jones in the fifth, or are you just going to hold out and hope for Peyton Barber late in the draft?
Yeah, I'm probably going to get maybe Alex Smith. I mean, sorry, Alex Smith. Alex Collins around the fifth round. I have him way higher, so I mean, I'm just going to wait for Peyton Barber. It's going to be other backs that I'm going to be grabbing over, you know, Ronald Jones is too high of a, you know, tag for him, I think.
Now, if Peyton Barber is there in the double-digit rounds, are you for sure going to take him?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, probably, you know, I may be grabbing him closer to the 10th round or something like that if there's more news or something. But, you know, camp starts, what, this week? You know, so, yeah, I mean, don't let us start seeing some more stuff about this guy. You know, I'm hoping, you know, we start seeing more stuff, but no one talks about it as much, so I can get good value for him. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see. It's so early.
Greg, what about you? Who are you? Who'd you rather have in fantasy?
I don't know. I mean, Ronald Jones, you know, the thing that they really like about him here is the upside of big plays. It's like they didn't have a rushing touchdown of longer than 2 yards in all of last season. And Ronald Jones had crazy amounts of big play touchdowns, 86, 68, 69. I think he had 340 yards on touchdowns last year alone at USC. So I think there's probably more upside. Like you said, you're going to have to draft him higher, but he's not going to have a Barkley-type impact. But I don't know that there's another rookie running back I would think is naturally in line for better fantasy value than what he has here.
Well, that's interesting. So you actually like him more than – so you'd probably put him next to Barkley as far as – not Barkley, but, you know, as far as second best, obviously far from him. But
yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, Geis is there. There's others that'll have a chance. I think there's – I think when I look at the other rookie running backs and what they're competing against, I think Jones probably has less to compete with than most of the other high-drafted top three-round running backs.
And that's true. I mean, Peyton Barber's an undrafted guy. I mean, he's a no one. So it's like I'm the only one.
Last year, so much of what they did last year was sticking with Doug Martin, when he was consistently not even getting 3 yards a carry. So, I mean, 4 or 5 weeks left in the season, Peyton Barber still had, I think, 88 yards rushing. And it was only at the end of last season where they kind of gave him the keys and let him run with it. And he finished with whatever he had, 440 yards or something like that.
Right.
So you can't tell whether they learned a lot from that last month or whether they default to that position they had most of last year, which was giving somebody else a look.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about some wide receivers here. So Mike Evans, for fantasy purposes, had a down year last season. I mean, he still finished as wide receiver too, but kind of a down year, especially where people were drafting him in the late first, early second round. DeSean Jackson is still opposite him. Do you think there's a chance that Chris Godwin steps up into the starting role across from Mike Evans?
Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of production and fantasy value, Godwin could easily exceed DeSean Jackson. I mean, they're both going to play, and they use a ton of three-receiver sets, so it's not like one really supplants the other. I think in terms of targets, you could see – you'll see Godwin certainly go up. I mean, if you look at what Godwin did in the second half of last season, he was pretty much their number two receiver in yards and catches and targets. So he's right there. I mean, they've got a lot of different moving factors in that passing game because you have – Mike Evans, who wants to be a lot more like he was in 2016 when he had 12 touchdowns. I think they want to have DeSean Jackson click a lot better than he did last year, especially on the deep ball. And then at tight end, you got O.J. Howard, who will be emerging as a second-year guy. They just gave Cameron Great a lot of money to stick around. Right. But, yeah, I think if I were looking for value, I would probably take Godwin, kind of the same way you guys are talking about Peyton Barber. Godwin will be there for you really late. And if you wanted a sleeper from this offense, he'd probably be a smart guy to look at.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He's definitely one of the guys I'm targeting in the late rounds. You touched on O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate. in a vacuum there, who would you rather have for fantasy? Because I think Hoos and I both lean towards Cameron Brate being in the top 10 yet again.
Yeah, I mean, Brate is such a red zone security blanket for Jameis. I mean, he has 14 touchdowns in the last 2 years, almost all of them in the red zone. And, I mean, I think they're not really a very good red zone offense. So if they get better there, it's even more opportunities for him. But they're both going to play a lot. So don't think that one doing well will be at the expense of another, because I think they both had 6 touchdowns last year. I would go in kind of expecting about the same. I mean, if you get 6 touchdowns from your tight end, you're usually pretty happy with that in fantasy, unless you take somebody really high like a Gronk or something like that. But, no, both should be in line to play well and complement each other. And I think out of the two, I think Howard's probably the one more likely to grow and expand and take on a larger role. I think they know what they have in Cameron Brate. Howard would be probably the guy that has more upside of the two.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I definitely agree with that there. I just think, yeah, like you were saying, he's definitely Winston's security blanket. It, you know, just seems whenever he played, touchdown after touchdown after touchdown every game, it seemed, up until when Winston got kind of hurt and, you know, Brate was a little hurt, you know, and seemed to, you know, get back.
Yeah, Brate played he didn't miss any games, but he played through a lot of injuries last year. He took at least twice he took shots where we were convinced he's concussed and he's coming out, and now he kind of kept on pushing through it.
Now, before I let you go here, I want to bring up, you know, the Jameis Winston suspension. He's going to be suspended for 3 games. He appealed. That's been held up. So 3 games completely, you know, out the window for Jameis. What position do you see being the most fantasy relevant for those first 3 games? Are they going to lean on the run because, you know, they only have Ryan Fitzpatrick to back him up? Or are they going to, you know, defense is going to stack the box more often, forcing Ryan Fitzpatrick to throw? Which way do you lean?
Yeah, I mean, I think even independent of the Winston suspension, they want to assert themselves as a running team and as a much improved running team from a year ago. And that's not just Ronald Jones, that's adding a new center in Ryan Jensen and just feeling better about their line as a whole. So the easiest way to do that is in the first 3 games. I mean, it's not 3 easy run defenses by any means. It's the Saints, the Eagles, and the Steelers, who are all 3 division champs from last year. But no, I do think the easiest way for them to lessen the fact that Winston isn't playing is to not make Fitz have to do that much. You know, Fitz had 3 starts last year. Only had 1 interception in those 3 games in 115 throws. So they don't need him to throw 40 times in a game. If he can throw 30 times and they run the ball 40 times, that's probably a scenario that's more likely to hold up as a win against one of those teams than letting Ryan Fitzpatrick drop back and throw 45 times.
All right, yeah. What about Charles Sims? You think he gets factored in at all? I mean, they retained him for the 1 year.
No, I mean, Charles Sims was an unrestricted free agent and sat, I want to say, 3 months in free agency with nothing. Came back on, I think he's making $200,000 more than the league minimum. You know, they've got an undrafted rookie from Duke named Sean Wilson who could threaten either Rodgers or Sims for that third, fourth running back job. So, no, I mean, Sims, right now you would say that Charles Sims has that role as like a third down pass-catching back, and that's usually good for 30, 40 catches, a touchdown or two, but nothing that would really crib away at Barber or Jones's role as long as those guys are healthy and playing as they should.
Yep. Well, just looking at the depth chart right now, who's Jacquizz Rodgers is number 1 on the depth chart. So it goes Rodgers,
yeah,
Jones,
I'm not sure
Sims.
What depth chart you're looking at?
But. Yeah, I don't
Peyton
know.
Barber down at number 4.
Which one is that? Like some made up one off of Google?
No, it's ourlads.com.
Is that alphabetical or something? Yeah.
Our lads.
Yeah, now Jacquizz Rodgers is probably a special teams guy this year. I mean, he's good to have in the room because he's an NFL veteran. I think he's already helping Ronald Jones a lot, just learning how to become an NFL running back. But if you look last year, I mean, once Doug Martin's suspension was over, I think that was 3 games in, I don't know that Jacquizz Rodgers had 100 yards the rest of the season. So he's a guy that's there as kind of proven insurance and injury depth, but not somebody that should be playing a prominent role. He's due to make like $1.7 million. So, I mean, if anything, he's kind of fighting to stay on the roster.
Roster bubble.
There we go. All right, one last question for you here. Fantasy-wise, aside from Mike Evans, who's probably going to be everybody's answer, which Buccaneer would you like to have on your team?
In terms of, like, value?
Oh, just in general, which guy do you want?
I mean, I would say the next bet would probably be Jones, really. I mean, you're seeing him. Somebody had him 53 today in a mock draft. If you can get him, you know, after about round 6 or 7, I mean, he was the number 24 running back on somebody's draft list. And I think he'll probably perform better than that. I mean, if the Bucks are the team they want to be, they will run the ball a lot. And, I mean, he doesn't have to be the guy he was at USC last year. But, no, I would think he has the most upside of any other player on this offense besides Mike Evans.
Appreciate your time, man. I could not have gone through the day without talking about Peyton Barber, so glad I got that in my system.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Greg, why don't you tell our listeners real quick where they can find you and follow you?
Yeah, I write for the Tampa Bay Times online at tampabay.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at my name, Greg Aumann. That's A-U-M-A-N. Thanks again, guys.
All right, Greg, thanks. Have a good one, man. Thank you for tuning in to the Sleepwire Show this week. We want to thank our guests, Jeffrey Warren and Greg Aumann. You can follow them on Twitter, Jeffrey_Warren and Greg Aumann, A-U-M-A-N on Twitter. And you can follow us on Twitter at Sleepwire Show. Don't forget to join the Facebook group. Just look for the Sleepwire Fantasy Football Club and download the Sleeper app. We'll be active on there all season. Find us at the Sleepwire channel on the Sleeper app. And don't forget, Mock Metal Mondays continue every Monday night until the season starts. Tune in, join us for 3 hours of mock drafting, heavy metal music, and basically just hang out and chat on the air live every Monday night. We start about 9 p.m. Thanks again for tuning in this week. We'll catch you next time.